we farm up above the high school on Swanson Road, and we farm peaches and plums and cherries. Our farm's name is Top Fruits. I also work for an organization called the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union, and we work on behalf of family farmers and ranchers across Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming to try to advocate for policies that support family farming.
Out of the produce you mentioned, do you have a favorite one that you grow?
I don't think there's anything better than a juicy peach.
Awesome. I know peach trees exist for a long time, but have you planted from seed?
Yeah, so we actually, I'm pretty darn new at this whole orcharding thing. And we, for the first time, planted new peaches last year, and we're going to continue planting this year and for years to come. It's a long game venture. You don't see a return right away, but yeah, it's amazing to spend the day, you know, putting the tree planter through the ground and seeing what you have left at the end of the day.
Yeah. And how long do peach trees take to yield?
We should start seeing returns in 4 to 5 years.
Wow. So it is an investment.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's one of the challenging things about orcharding is that you need to be able to, you know, if you're in a situation like us where you have limited production, we need to be able to weather the storms for the next 4 or 5 years while we wait for those peaches to start producing. In addition to day-to-day life on the farm, I also make my living by working for the Farmers Union, which is an organization that advocates on behalf of family farmers and ranchers. But it really does a lot more. It really works to create local chapters that are able to produce and contribute to their local communities, whether through education, whether through cooperative projects. You know, we're working on trying to create leadership within youth. We're also working on trying to train farmers and ranchers to be able to participate in the bigger system and give them leadership skills that they're going to need to be advocates for themselves. Similar to, you know, this idea of planting a seed, and we're trying to find those people in the community that can be seeds for us and can really help to grow the organization to something that is not only meaningful, but is effectively advocating and bringing the resources, helping to provide for the resources that family farmers and ranchers need. It's a unique and extremely dynamic job, and I'm so lucky to be able to work with farmers and ranchers across the Western Slope, big farmers, small farmers, organic farmers, conventional farmers, you know, ranchers, sheep herders, dairymen and women, and non-gender dairy operators. And it's a really incredible network to be able to spend my days with when I'm not on the farm.
Yeah, that's so cool. It really sounds like you're helping set farmers up for the future.
Well, you know, there's so few farmers left in the world. We represent such a small percentage of the overall population, you know, and even in, I believe, many of our more rural communities, that connection to agriculture is weakening. And so it's so important that we're telling our story, and it's so important that we're trying to continue to have a voice, because so many of the programs that we rely on, whether they're federal programs or state programs, or whether they're simply you know, working to maintain those systems and structures and infrastructure in our communities, it doesn't happen by itself. It happens because we work together.
What if someone wanted to get involved in farming, but they didn't have the resources or the land to start their own farm? How could they get involved?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm a first generation farmer, you know, and I want to give full credit to the advantages that I've had. My family does have a small piece of land here in Paonia that I've been able to get a start on. But I started farming not here. I started farming in out of state when I graduated college. And finding the right mentorship, I think, is huge. I think that's essential. Making sure that you're doing the right amount of business planning, I think, is essential. Having that network and community is essential. And but, you know, honestly, more than anything, I think stubbornness is probably the number one characteristic that any new farmer needs to have in this. At Farmers Union, we offer a program called the Farmers Union Fellows Program. It teaches production, business, and leadership skills over the course of the year. National Farmers Union has one called the Beginning Farmers Institute, which does the same thing, but on a national level, that, you know, you're a part of a cohort of other growers that's learning and sharing with one another. My experience has been that those are hugely important. Equally important for me has been to, you know, understand that this is a long-term goal and that I need to be able to provide for myself, my partnership, and my family with a degree of security, which farming does not always bring, especially in the beginning. You know, so a huge thing for me has been recognizing that this is a lifetime pursuit, and I don't want to throw that away because I need to move too quickly. It's really important, I believe, to make sure that you're providing for the security that you need and working towards your goals in a long-term sense.
Yeah, it's definitely not plant the seeds, wait a few months and you're done.
Absolutely not. There's almost nothing that is instantaneously gratifying about agriculture. I think no matter what you grow, even if you grow annuals, you need to anticipate years of investment before you start seeing returns. And there are certainly lots of stories out there of people that are able to make $80,000 an acre and make it look easy. But I think that that's not everybody. That's, in fact, probably not the majority at all. So just being patient, having stubbornness, and the willingness to work, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think it comes down to being willing to put the time in to do it. You know, around here, there's awesome opportunities to get involved in agriculture. There's so many people that you can work for. There's so many places, whether it's finding a job on a crew or interning, there's really almost limitless opportunities. You know, you could do it on a small diversified farm, you know, somewhere in the North Fork. You could do it on an orchard somewhere on Rogers Mesa. Or there's frankly lots of opportunities to get involved in some of the larger farms over on the west side of the county and down into Olathe, getting involved in agriculture in that way. And I think that any way you want to do it, you just got to stick with it. Well, and if I can get a plug in on the 28th of this month at the Maloney House at the fairgrounds in Hotchkiss, we're doing a panel discussion. Every month we do a panel discussion called Stories from Agricultural Entrepreneurs. And this month on the 28th of March, we're having a panel discussion. And this month's topic is heritage. It's where we come from as agriculture, you know, where we've come from in Delta County, what the history of many of our production practices are, and bringing in people that can talk a little bit about that heritage. You know, we think of entrepreneurs as really the leaders of the future, but it's also exciting to think about entrepreneurs as the people that helped get us here. If that plug makes it in somewhere, that would be great. It's at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.